Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
After John's messengers were gone, then Jesus said, "Why did you go out into the desert to see? Was it a man, you know, who's dressed in fine clothing?" That wasn't John. It wasn't his attire that drew people out into the desert. He says, "What did you go out to see? People that are arrayed in all this fine apparel? Was it the reeds shaking in the wind?" He was saying these things sarcastically. Those things had been out there for hundreds and thousands of years. He says, "What was it that you went out there to see?" He says, "Was it a prophet?" He says, "It's more than a prophet. I say unto you that among those who've been born of women, there has never been a greater than John the Baptist." Well, what a powerful thing for Jesus to say about a man. That makes John the Baptist greater than Moses, Elijah, David. What a powerful thing. You know, if I was discouraged, and if I sent to somebody who is the greatest spiritual leader of the day and said, "Could you help me? I'm discouraged." If they started saying really nice things about me, about you, the most anointed person in all of these things, you know what? Most of us would think, "Oh man, this is great." And that would just bring you out of your depression. Jesus didn't say any of those complimentary things while John's disciples were there. He waited until they were gone before he said it. And I wondered for years about, "Jesus, why did you do this?" John was Jesus' cousin. John drew the crowds. John prepared the way. And Jesus, it shows you what he thought about him. He was the greatest man that had ever been born on the earth. Why didn't Jesus say these complimentary things to John? And I wondered about that for years. And then I was reading in Isaiah chapter 35. I won't take time to turn over there and read it. But it was scriptures that John was familiar with. He quoted from those exact passages of scripture when he's quoted from Isaiah 40 about, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." So he was familiar with these scriptures. And in Isaiah chapter 35, it says that when the Messiah comes, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, then the lame man shall leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and streams shall break out in the desert. And you know what? The Holy Spirit just quickened that to me, and I went back over to Matthew chapter 11, and you know what happened? When John was in doubt, when he was struggling with discouragement, which is what I'm talking about, how to be strong and courageous instead of being afraid and dismayed. When John was dealing with doubt, you know how Jesus dealt with it? He fulfilled the word. The word said that when he came, he would open the eyes of the blind. So Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man. It said that the lame would walk, so he healed somebody who was lame. It said the dumb would talk, so he healed somebody who couldn't talk. And he just threw in and raised somebody from the dead, more than what was prophesied. Just so that there would be no mistake that this just accidentally happened. In 1 hour's period of time, he fulfilled everything that was written about the Messiah, what he would do. And he says, "Go back and tell John what you've seen. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised." You know what he did? He pointed John to the Word to deal with his doubt and with his discouragement. That's what I've been trying to do for you tonight, is to tell you that if you want to be strong and victorious in a negative situation, you are going to have to be in the Word. And the Scripture doesn't tell us what the results was, but my personal opinion is I believe John probably had to ponder this for a while about, what does this mean? The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. What does that mean? And then I believe the Holy Spirit quickened to him Isaiah 35, and he realized he fulfilled everything that was prophesied. The Word says he is the one. Who else could do all of this? And God referred him back to the Word, and it's my personal opinion that John received it, and John went out with a shout. He was beheaded by Herod, but you know what? I believe that he was at total peace saying, "God, you are, Jesus is truly the Messiah," because he fulfilled the Word. And you know, I believe that God referred him back to the Word, not because he thought less of him, but because he thought so much of him. He was the greatest man that had ever lived up until that time. And God honored him so much, he wouldn't come down and just touch him in an emotional, feel-good way. He wanted him to go back to the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that is your foundation. It's the Word of God that's going to make you strong. Most of us today, we have become such an emotional, sensual society that it's all about how we feel. I have people come up all the time and I say, "What's wrong with you?" And they say, "I don't know. I'm just depressed." And I say, "So what happened?" "Well, I don't have anything. Everything's fine, but I'm depressed." They don't even have a reason for it. "I just feel this way." Don't even get me started on that. Man, that's carnal. That's carnal. "Oh, but I feel this." Well, who cares how you feel? Feelings aren't God. There's times that I pray for people and I don't feel a thing. But praise God, I've learned enough not to go by how I feel. I go by what the Word says. David Hardesty and I went up and prayed for a woman one time who was in a wheelchair. And I mean, she was just moments away from death with cancer. She'd only listened to me for 1 week on the television. And her family brought her, and she was hurting so bad, she was doped up. She couldn't even talk to me. She was going in and out of consciousness. And I tried to encourage everybody, but I only had a few moments. They hadn't listened to me enough. They thought God was the one that was making her sick, and there was just a million things wrong. And so I went ahead and just prayed for her. And you know what I felt? I felt like she hadn't got a chance. Too little, too late. But at least I've learned enough not to speak my doubts. And so I just prayed, and I didn't undo my prayer by going out. I started to tell David, I said, "This woman will probably die." But I thought, I'm not going to say that. I just prayed that she'd be well. So I'm not going to speak my doubts. And I didn't say a thing. And you know, it was only 3 months later, and she came to another meeting of mine in Houston and ran and jumped up on the platform and says, "Do you remember me?" And I mean, I didn't even recognize her. The woman was just totally set free. You know what? I had those feelings, but I don't speak what I feel. I went ahead and prayed, and even though I felt zero faith, I felt nothing. I felt like she was going to die. She got healed anyway because I did what the Word of God said. Amen. Who cares how you feel? "Well, I don't feel like reading the Bible." Forget it. Just read it anyway. There's times that I don't feel like it. There's times that my mind wanders. And I have actually read chapters out of the Bible before. And if you would have asked me, "What did you just read?" I couldn't have even told you what chapter it was. I couldn't have told you what book of the Bible it was. You know what I do when something like that happens? I read it again. And if I don't remember the second time, I'll read it until eventually I figure that if I'm going to, you know, this is silly to be reading something and not having your mind on it. And eventually I just force myself to focus on it. I've had people come up, "Well, I just don't like reading before." Well, go ahead and do it anyway. Who cares whether you like it or not? "Well, I don't feel like reading." Who cares? What you feel like isn't important. I'm telling you, this is absolute. This is absolute. The Word of God is an incorruptible seed. If you want the harvest that the Word is going to produce, plant the seed. If you don't plant the seed, don't be discouraged or question about why it isn't working. This is really simple. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it works. If you're going to want victory in your life, if you want something that's abnormal, supernatural, if you want victory in your life, you're going to have to take the Word of God and get to where you know the Word of God frontwards and backwards. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of effort. And some of you say, "Well, I don't want to wait a year or 2 years. I want something right now." You know what? That's one of the reasons that you aren't experiencing victory. It's because you aren't patient. You haven't taken the Word. It takes patience to put a seed in the ground, and you have to sleep and rise night and day and just trust that it's going to work. You may not like this, but it works for you. Once you sow a seed, did you know that seed grows up and produces, and then it produces seeds, and those seeds go in the ground, and after a while, you got so much harvest out there that you could never eat it all. You have to start selling it and getting the money off of it and stuff because you can't harvest it enough. Once you get into the Word, it is a process, but once it gets going, it'll just keep bearing fruit. The things that I meditated on 40 years ago are still producing in my life today. It's working. I've now got momentum going for me because I've been meditating in the Word. I don't know how long it's going to take you, but I can tell you this, you can't get there any quicker than to start tonight. If it takes a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever it takes for you to get to where the Word of God is dominant in your life, you can't get there any quicker than starting right now. You need to make a decision that, praise God, I am going to not let this book of the law depart out of my mouth. I'm going to meditate in it day and night. I'm going to observe what it says, and I will make my way prosperous, and I will have good success. And I guarantee you, if you make that decision and follow through on that decision, you'll never regret it. There's probably lots of people in here that have made that decision. None of us fulfill it perfectly. But to the degree that you've done it, that you've meditated on the Word, there's not a single person in here that would say, oh, it was wasted time. It doesn't work. It does work. I guarantee you, you will benefit tremendously. So if you want to be positive in a negative world, you can't do it without having the positive influence of God's Word in your life. That is the number one way. Amen. And if you would receive that word tonight and act on it, I guarantee you this will change your life. You'll be a different person. You know, one of the things that the Word says is that you must be born again. It didn't say that you should. This is a good way to do it. It says you must be born again. In the same way as you were born physically and got this physical body, you have to be born from above. You need to have God come live on the inside of you. And this sets true Christianity apart from religion, even Christian religion. There's lots of people that believe God exists. The Bible says in James 2:19, do you believe that God exists? You do well. Even the devils believe and tremble. Just believing that God exists doesn't mean that you are a Christian. And believing that Jesus is the Son of God doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You have to make Him your Savior. You have to trust Him.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RHT25 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. And remember, this is the last day we're making this offer available, so don't wait. Call or write today.
Let me just encourage you one more time that if the Lord has spoken to you today and you realize that all you've got is just a religion, but you don't have a personal Savior, you haven't experienced God, your heart hasn't been changed. You know, I'd like to ask you to not only get these materials that we're offering, but to please call and let the people on our helpline guide you into this relationship with the Lord. The Bible says that if you don't confess Jesus before man, He won't confess you before His Father. There needs to be some type of a commitment in front of other people. You can call our helpline and people will help you. So please call and tell them you want to pray to make Jesus your personal Lord.
Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.